Hello, everyone. This is Rico, and you're listening to Treks in Sci-Fi, your twice a month, bi-monthly, bi-weekly, not bi-weekly, bi-monthly. That's always been weird to me. Anyway, every 2 weeks or so, I do a podcast. This is show 944. It is September 29th. Holy moly, it's almost the end of September. Well, it is the end of September. I mean, it's almost October. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit about it at the beginning of the show, formal beginning of the show after the opening. But I am feeling better. Still not perfect, but better. Things seem to be getting, you know, moving in a good direction, so that's good. I'm doing this a little later on a Sunday because I went to watch my oldest grandson, Bryson, play flag football. Went to visit my oldest son there and his wife, and, you know, they've been building a house, so we went to see that. So anyway, it's about 2 o'clock. I usually do these around, you know, 10 in the morning. So I don't know if that's going to change the podcast or not, but still a little hard to talk for long lengths of time. So it'll probably be shorter, but I do want to talk a little bit about Star Trek Prodigy. I've really enjoyed the show. And it's been a little while since the second season has been out on Netflix. Both seasons, I think, are on Netflix. So you can watch it all. Most people have Netflix, and this show is fantastic. I'll talk more about it on the show and talk, you know, what I think about it, why I like it, and all that. But yeah, that's going to be the kind of main topic. I'll talk about some other things as I always do. So let's hit it.
I'm Captain Kirk.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the winners of the 74th Annual Hunger Games.
We are the men in black.
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life.
My name is Optimus Prime.
I am the Futurus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
Yes, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware of the dark side.
That's kind of catchy. It's got a nice ring to it. I mean, it's not technically accurate. It's a gold titanium alloy.
I'm sorry, David. I'm afraid I can't do that.
This is Rico, and you're listening to Treks in Sci-Fi. Again, welcome to the podcast, everyone. Excuse me. Hopefully, you're all doing well. If you listen to the last couple of podcasts, especially probably the last one, I've had this issue with my thyroid, not to get into a whole medical drama show again, but done some more tests, and essentially it seems like I just have something which is probably the least, let's say, bad thing to have with your thyroid, which is just called simply, here's a good name, thyroiditis, which essentially means that sometime after I got back from Comic-Con or thereabouts, I got some kind of viral infection of some type. Something triggered basically my body to go into kind of like, you know, red alert or something. And in what basically thyroiditis is your thyroid kind of overreacting to some kind of an infection. I mean, I've had a lot of viruses over the years. You know, I've had COVID before. I've had, you know, numerous colds and things. So, but for some reason this time, it made my thyroid kind of become swollen, painful. That's mostly, it's still there, but it's mostly gone now. I'm still on some meds. I go get some more blood work and testing, you know, kind of to more or less see how, you know, how well I'm improving next week. Because thyroiditis apparently can last for, let's say, it's a slow recovery. I do feel like I definitely have more energy, and I definitely feel much better than I did a few weeks ago. getting out and about more and lots of things like that. So still feel like my voice is off. I don't know. I'm not sure about that, what that's about exactly. I don't know if I sound that different. I feel like I sound a little nasally or feel a little nasally. I don't know. Really much better. It should just eventually, the thyroid should sort of more or less go back to normal. I mean, there's still possibilities that this could be like something that would require some kind of longer term medication. It's a little up in the air on that. It really will depend on how the blood work and stuff looks next week. But yeah, doing much better, and I'm glad that it's not, you know, thyroids are tricky things. You can have, you know, really, you know, people can have thyroid cancer, and you know, so it's definitely not that, and so that's good. And yeah, so definitely doing better. And it's I think I said this a couple times in recent shows, but man, when you don't have your health and especially when it's a long-term thing, it's very frustrating, and it's very it just kind of knocks the wind out of your sails, as they say. But yeah, doing better. So what's been going on? What have I been watching? my biggest kick, really, and it's not a sci-fi show, and I know I mentioned this, but I've been watching Yellowstone, that Kevin Costner series. It's just, it's a goofy show somewhat. It's a big, you know, drama thing with ridiculous stuff kind of going on, truthfully. But I don't know. I'm just loving it. And not sci-fi, but I'm very much enjoying that. A couple of newer things. The Penguin, this Penguin show on Max, formerly HBO Max, formerly just HBO or whatever. I don't know. Don't ask me the history of that whole naming thing. But there's only been one episode. They have another episode coming out later tonight at 9. I wish they wouldn't come out at 9 Eastern. You know, I'm a sick guy, or lately especially. I go to bed early now. there are a lot of nights in the last few weeks I've been going to bed like 8:30. So these 9 p.m. Eastern times when these shows air, like that Wanda, not WandaVision spinoff, but Agatha All Along, right? I'll talk about that in a minute, but they're also doing that on Wednesdays. It comes out at 9, and I'm like, nope, gonna watch it the next day. So anyway, this Penguin show with Colin Farrell, Jiminy Glick. Do you guys know who that is? Sort of a made-up talk show personality. Colin Farrell is the Penguin, and he did it in that Batman movie, which I know I talked about when that movie came out. I wasn't super thrilled with that Robert Pattinson Batman movie. It looked great. It had the right mood. It was very Gotham. Like, it was very much like ripped out of the Batman pages, but I just didn't really care for Robert Pattinson as Batman / Bruce Wayne. I know he's young and he's starting out as Batman in it, but he kind of, one of my problems with that movie was he doesn't really prevent or stop anything in that movie. He's always there at the late and when things happen, you know, he doesn't really stop anything much. Plus, I wanted more Bruce Wayne a little bit. I think that's important in those things. What I'm getting at is that Colin Farrell played the Penguin with a lot of makeup in that movie. He wasn't in it a lot. He wasn't like a primary thing in that movie, a bit. So they're doing this show, and now that I'm trying to think about it, it is set before the Batman movie, right? Because I'm trying to remember, even in the first episode, I don't think they mention much about Batman. So I guess this is I think it's set before the Batman movie. This is the Penguin kind of just starting out a bit. I think that's the time frame. But it's more about the crime bosses and the crime families of Gotham. The Falcones, that kind of, you know, Colin Farrell is basically almost unrecognizable as the Penguin. They've got him in this, you know, all this makeup and this bodysuit, and he does the Penguin kind of weird. Sorry, that's not illness. That's just I just had lunch a little while ago. Something stuck in my throat. I don't know. I guess I could chew more. No, I'm kidding. Need to probably get a drink here in a minute of some tea. But yeah, Colin Farrell is just amazing. I mean, just his, just the whole way he embodies the Penguin. I read something about him saying that, you know, it would take a lot. He needs a big, long break from, he says, I don't know about another season. He doesn't seem like he's too excited to put that whole Penguin makeup and suit on again. But he said, you know, maybe if they were interested. I don't know how the season runs, you know, in terms of where they leave it at the end, because we're just starting out. I'm not sure how many episodes either it is. But yeah, I was really, really enjoyed the first episode. And I'm looking forward to watching more of it. I think it's a lot of comic book people that I've, you know, some of the groups on Facebook and that, everyone seems to be generally liking it quite a bit. And I think that's a good sign. So, I mean, the Batman movie was pretty well received and pretty well liked. I didn't hate it. My older son, Steven, he wasn't really, he did not like it. I was more middle of the road. You know, I know they've done lots of different Batman incarnations over the years in comics and in movies and on TV. So I can handle a little bit of difference. But anyway, yeah, The Penguin. So if you're interested, if you're a comic book fan, you want to watch that, check it out. So the other one, the other thing that started recently is this Agatha All Along show, which is sort of a spinoff of WandaVision. Katherine Hahn playing Agatha Harkness, as seen in Marvel Comics. And essentially, this is a follow-up to the WandaVision show, where she's trying to get her magic back, along with some other witches that she sort of brings along for the ride, because she kind of needs them. There's been 3 episodes so far. I'm really liking it. I think Katherine Hahn is just, she's great. I mean, I'd watch her just about in anything. I think the other people in the show are good. I kind of don't know exactly where it's going. I mean, it's sort of on a certain trajectory, but yeah, I'm liking it so far. I don't know how many episodes this one is. They're a little bit shorter. I mean, that seems to be the Marvel way a little bit with some of their TV projects. Sometimes they're down to like 30 some minutes, maybe 40 some minutes. They seem to stick in that area. The Penguin, I think the premiere episode, it was at least an hour, I thought. I think it was more than an hour. I'd have to look up the exact time, but it was, yeah. But yeah, I think both of these shows, and they're very different, The Penguin and this Agatha show, are, you know, both based on comic and comic book characters, but completely really different shows, and both fun to watch. So yeah, that's cool. Still watching Rings of Power. I don't know how many episodes they're doing for this season. 10? 8? Because we just had episode 7, which was kind of a big battle episode. Quite a big battle going on. The show is still kind of a little goofy, honestly. I'm enjoying it still. I can see why people kind of... I can see why some fans of Lord of the Rings aren't really thrilled with this show that much. I mean, it's got its ups and downs. I've said before, but I'm not a Tolkien expert. I don't know how many liberties they're really taking here, but I get a kick out of it. I don't know. I find the pretty boy Sauron, you know, I have a trouble taking him seriously. I don't know. There's something, he's just too pretty, you know, and he's just like, I don't know. There's something that just kind of makes me want to just slap his face. he's supposed to be an evil guy and all that, but I prefer when somebody, you know, he's going around pretending to be this cool pretty boy elf guy and trying to fool everybody. And he is, you know, Sauron's meant to be the deceiver and fooled Galadriel and others. And that I'm okay with, but the making of the rings is a bit interesting, but I also have found it being, there's something a little bit mysterious about the rings that I don't know, to just see them being actually forged and made, I wanted something a little bit more magical. I mean, it literally just looks like, okay, he's got some mithril from the dwarves and all, and they flip that in there. And then he's sitting there pounding away on him and sticking a gemstone in. But, like, it's like the Force in Star Wars, right? I like the Force to be a bit more esoteric, kind of hard-to-define thing, you know. Like, you know, even though, you know, let's not pick on the prequels, but when they got to the, you know, prequels and had to use this midichlorian thing of, like, okay, there's a little blood thing, there's a little thing in your microorganisms in your blood, and if you got a lot of them, you're going to have the Force, and if you don't, I wanted it to be more of something that certain people could just tap into, this life force energy, and it didn't really have anything to do with your DNA or your body so much. I mean, it certainly runs in families, you know, the Force, and I could kind of accept that. But I don't want that to be so explained. And I think that's sort of my trouble with the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power show, and them sitting there in a, you know, a forge making the rings. I would have preferred just sort of somebody went off into a cave somewhere and uttered some magic words and, you know, maybe came out. And I don't know. But this show still is, I don't know, I think it's fun. I have a feeling they're still going to do more. I know this. I think the show still does pretty good ratings. I know people have mixed feelings about it, but I still enjoy it. So whatever, so be it. I'm trying to think of any other sci-fi and fantasy that I'm really watching. I'm kind of mixing it up with other shows right now. We do have Lower Decks starting in October. I think there's a few other things in October as well, but I don't know how much about sci-fi and fantasy there is. Oh, a little bit in Star Trek news. This is kind of good. You know, a while back they had announced, even though, okay, so they filmed season 3 of Strange New Worlds. It's all done. It's been filmed. I think they finished filming back in the springtime, around maybe I want to say like April, maybe around there. So it's been finished filming for several months now. They still haven't announced when season 3 is going to start airing. I'm going to say hopefully sometime in early 2025. But they announced that starting, I think, February, they're going to come back and already start filming season 4 for Strange New Worlds, because it has been renewed. It was renewed a while ago. I have a feeling we're going to probably get 5 seasons of Strange New Worlds. That seems to be their target. We got 5 seasons of Discovery. We're getting 5 seasons of Lower Decks. And I think Strange New Worlds is popular enough. I think we're going to get 5 seasons of that. I hope we don't get only 4 or something. But we're definitely getting 4. So they're going to start in February filming. So we could get, like, Strange New Worlds season 3 in 2025. And we could get potentially season 4 in 2026. Probably later in 2026. Because it'll probably February, probably till the fall to film, maybe. Maybe not quite that long. Probably a good 6 to 9 months post-production before they start putting out episodes. So yeah, that's exciting. We won't have nearly the gap that we had between season 2 and 3. Part of that was because of the strike, the writers and the actors strike that was about a year ago, right? Or a little more than a year ago. That was part of the problem. I guess the other thing I'll mention, then I'm going to take a break and we'll talk about Prodigy. I watched the Flash movie again. I've been kind of, you know, pretty much after dinner, I settle down, watch a couple of TV shows or a movie, and then pretty much go to bed. That's my exciting evening in the last few weeks. I really like that Flash movie, and I think even watching it the second time, I even like it, I think, more. I think Ezra Miller is really good. I like the cast. I'm going to miss that version of the Justice League. I know James Gunn's got his whole thing coming starting next summer with Superman. But I think they, you know, I don't know. I think there was something they could have kept going there. It's a bit hard to take as a comic fan. And it's even this is true with regular comics. As I read my weekly comics, I miss, and this is a little bit of old comic book fan talk, but I miss the days of, you know, where a comic book team or a storyline or whatever would go on for years. Like, not really a storyline, but these days in comics, every 6 months, it's like a new team comes in, for a new creative team, and it really disrupts and changes things. And sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're not. But it's like a whole different book. It's like, what's going on? Why is Spider-Man doing this now? Or why is Batman acting like this? It's, and they don't, you know, it's not like they erase everything that's come before at all, but, you know, it's the same thing with these movies that you know, DC has now going to create a whole new set. And I mean, I'm wishing it well. I hope it does well. I hope they're good. I hope we have, you know, a decade of great DC comic book movies. You know, they've set up a lot of things. They announced a lot of projects, both movies and TV shows. And, you know, it's good to see they have a plan. I'm excited to, you know, to see how that turns out. I think the bits that I'm seeing are okay, but Superman, I would not have started with the Superman character as my first movie out of the gate for DC. I think he's the hardest character to do right. I think it's a very tricky character to get right, and I think it would have been better. Like Marvel did not that they should copy Marvel exactly. Marvel didn't start, you know, when they started with Iron Man, you know, the Iron Man, has never and still isn't really a big popular Marvel character. He's always been sort of second tier somewhat. The X-Men, Spider-Man, those are the top dogs in Marvel. And you know, there's even others. But not Iron Man. And I think, I mean, he was a fairly well-defined character, but you know, I think that was a good thing to start with. And then, you know, they brought in, I mean, they did grant, you know, they had the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, but those weren't really Marvel. They were Sony, right? And then when they brought in Spider-Man finally into the Marvel-verse, right, into the Marvel MCU, you know, he joined the rest. And then he kind of cut out his own little path of his own movies that were really good and are good, and with Tom Holland and so on. But I don't know. I just think it's swinging for the fences, as a baseball term, you know, to start with Superman as your big, it's going to be a home run, or it's going to be, you know, zero score. This is the way things are with TV and movies and entertainment these days, right? You're either a massive hit or a big hit of some kind, maybe not massive, or you're a failure. There's very little in between when it comes to movies and TV anymore, if you've noticed. You can't be middle of the road. If you're middle of the road, you're not good enough, right? You know, this Superman movie needs to be fantastic. It needs to make a bunch of money, and then we'll see what happens. So, but if it flounders, if it gets bad, you know, feedback from the fans, man, I don't know what that's going to mean for things, because you've brought out your star player essentially, and if you don't hit, it's not going to be great. I mean, I guess they did that with you know, that's the way DC went before, right, with Man of Steel, kind of. That's I guess that's where they kind of started. And Henry Cavill, I think, was a great Superman. I don't think Man of Steel is that great of a movie, truthfully. I've mentioned this before. It's got some issues. I don't think there's enough personality or humor in it. I think Superman needs, you don't want to go too jokey, but I think it needs to be somewhat of a light touch somewhat. And you need a good Clark Kent, and you need to show that, which they didn't really do in Man of Steel. I think I do like one thing, and then I'm going to take a break and we'll get into Prodigy. I do like one thing that Gunn is doing, where he doesn't really seem to be doing origin stories per se. You know, he's bringing, Superman's going to be coming into an established universe of heroes. You know, there's other characters that are going to show up in the Superman movie. I think to start like with it is a young actor playing Superman. He's still young, but I mean, that kind of makes sense just in general, because you want the guy to be young so that you can do movies for 10, 15 years or whatever with him, hopefully. But I do like the fact that Gunn is okay, we have heroes in the universe, and here's this one, and we're going to tell a story about them. And here's another one, and we're going to tell a story about them. Rather than, oh, each movie's going to show, oh, look, this is how they got their powers, or this is how they started off, and blah, 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 blah. We don't need that anymore. Let's just get right into it. So anyway, you know, fingers crossed. I'm hopeful. I don't really want them to fail. I want it to be good. But we'll wait and see. That's next summer, I guess. Anyway, short break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Prodigy, mostly focusing on season two, pretty much exclusively. I'll kind of run down the episodes real briefly, talk a little bit about the show in general. There may be some slight spoilers, so if you haven't seen season two of Prodigy, you might want to not listen. It's up to you, always, but I'll be back in a minute. All right, there's the opening theme credits, opening music, Michael Giacchino for Prodigy. I think it's basically exactly the same opening credit sequence, music and visuals for season two as it was for season one. I don't think they changed anything. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed something. I don't know. But so the big thing about Star Trek Prodigy that happened, which is, you know, they, you know, all the recent new Star Trek TV shows on Paramount, which was CBS All Access, then became Paramount Plus, blah, blah, blah. But Prodigy, after a single season of, well, they split it in two parts, 10 episodes each, 20 episodes. Hey, 20 episodes. You get an animated series, you get 20 episodes for a season. Huh, how about that? But it got canceled. It's like, what? I thought Star Trek, you know, in the modern times, at least they would have the weirdest thing. Well, there's a few weird things about this. First, that they canceled it anyway to begin with. But then it was, they had a lot of, I guess, season two was more or less done when they did that, you know, and there's this whole thing these days. That's a thing. Of dropping movies, dropping television shows, even when they're completed. Like, nope, we're not going to air that. We're just going to take the loss and move on or whatever. The big one in recent times was that Batgirl movie, right? Or that was at least one that comes to my mind. Excuse me. So Prodigy, even though season two, I think, was either mostly done or whatever, it got canceled. And then comes along, or along comes Netflix, and they said, yeah, we'll take that, you know. And it's so weird to me right now when Paramount was trying to build this sort of Star Trek network. Remember way back when Voyager was first, I think it was UPN, right? UPN, right? This has happened a few times throughout the history of Trek, where whoever owned Trek at the time, you know, tried to build a sort of a network around it. And Paramount, you know, the Paramount Plus channel, I'm telling you, if they didn't have Trek, I mean, there are other things on there. I do like Tulsa King. But Trek is their baby and is a big part of why people are subscribing to that streaming service. Now, granted, there's other Star Trek. There's movies on there. There are all the previous series. I think everything Trek is on there. And, of course, the current series and stuff. So there's a lot of Star Trek. And even if they stop making Even if they stop making any new Trek today, you know, there's a pretty big catalog, except a lot of Star Trek fans, and I'm one of them, I have Blu-rays and DVDs and stuff. Like, I mean, it's convenient. You can click an episode, go watch whatever you want. That is a convenience, but I probably wouldn't subscribe to Paramount Plus anymore if no new Star Trek was being put on there and produced. So anyway, Netflix comes along and says, hey, we'll take it. So it's a little weird now that we've got this split of Prodigy on Netflix, and it'll probably even be more weird if we get the opportunity, they have not said anything yet, if we potentially could get another season of Prodigy. I kind of hope so. I don't know how much it costs to make an animated show these days. It can't be, I mean, it's got to be cheaper than a regular show, right? Excuse me. But anyway, so enough about that. So people know this story. So I'm going to read this little blurb on the Wikipedia page for Star Trek Prodigy Season 2. The second season of the American animated television series Star Trek Prodigy follows a group of young aliens who join Admiral Catherine Janeway. This you know, Star Trek Prodigy can be known as almost like a follow-up to Voyager. And there's more. I'll talk about that for Season 2. I'll talk a little bit more as we discuss Season 2. Join Admiral Catherine Janeway on a mission to find the original crew of the USS Protostar with Chakotay, who was the captain of that ship, and to learn more about Starfleet as they train to be warrant officers. The season was produced by CBS iAnimation Productions and Nickelodeon Animation Studio in association with Secret Hideout, Roddenberry Entertainment, and Brothers Hagman Productions. Kevin and Dan Hagman serve as showrunners. Then we have the cast: Brett Gray, Ella Purnell, Jason, I never know how to say this guy's name, Mantazokis. He does a lot of animated voicing. Angus Amir, Riley Ezelokour, I'm terrible, and D. Bradley Baker voice the young warrant officer, with Jimmy Simpson, John Noble, Robert Beltran, Kate Mulgrew, Robert Picardo, Jamil, how do you say her name? Jamila Jamil? She was on The Good Place, right, I think? And Will Wheaton, also providing voices for the series. Yes, Wesley Crusher, Will Wheaton is back. Spoiler, which I already announced. Nickelodeon ordered 2 seasons of Prodigy in April 2019, and the Hagman brothers were attached as showrunners. Ben Hibben was announced as a director and associate lead. The writer split the season into 2 10-episode arcs. Series moved from Nickelodeon Paramount Plus in February 2021. I don't really it was always on Paramount Plus. And the second season was set to premiere in late 2023. Paramount Plus canceled the season in June, but it was picked up by Netflix that October. The 20 episodes were first released in France on France.tv on March 22nd, which is weird, 2024. They were released in the U.S. and other territories on Netflix on July 1st, 2024. Yeah, and I think I watched a lot of it. I mean, there was 20 episodes, and I wanted to watch all of them before Comic-Con this year, and I managed to do that. I was watching basically an episode a day or so, or maybe a couple of days. I watched a couple episodes. But, yeah, so there's the history of the show. Now, being Nickelodeon associated, being animated, I've seen comments from people online. This is one of my goals of the podcast for anyone out there listening. There's maybe a few, but if the animated aspect or that it was on Nickelodeon, if that makes you think this is some kind of goofy kid show, it's not. This is as serious of a Star Trek show as any of the Star Trek shows are. No more, no less, but it's science-based. There's no, it's not like there's goofy antics really going on, even though they're young people are the main characters of the show. It's just, I mean, honestly, excuse me, there's more goofy hijinks and things going on Lower Decks, which are fun, than there are that happen on Prodigy. So, but I mean, yeah, the stories, the scripts, the episodes, season one, I liked. It was a little complex, I thought, in some ways, complex isn't the right word exactly. It was surprises to me. It surprised me a little bit. It was a little, I don't think it was a very, it wasn't as clean of a storyline, I think, is the way I can put it. I'm not really dissing it. I still liked it a lot. But I think season two is very, it's very coherent. It, especially, I watched, like I said, an episode or so a day. I'm not a big bingey guy. That's as much binging as I can do. Like a Yellowstone right now, I'm watching like an episode a day. I don't do multiple episodes in a day, really. Although I did think I watched the last couple of episodes of Yellowstone to finish one of the seasons, season two off. I think I watched two in one night or one day. Anyway, but season two, I think, has a very, very a storyline and arc that goes through the whole season. I think is super solid. It follows the characters. They develop the whole stuff going on with Wesley and Chakotay when they find him. He's been stranded out there, you know, on this crash protostar ship, you know, for a long time. I forget how long it's supposed to be. I'll run down the episodes here in a minute, but it's just, it's great. It's just, there's a lot of heart in the show. It was great to see Wesley as this traveler being that he is now, which we've never been able to see that in anything. You know, they never brought him into Picard, really. There was he had a 10-second scene, right, in that one episode of Picard. What was at the end of season two, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's just this is a whole bunch of cool Trek stuff that you get in Prodigy that just they've never done with anywhere else. You have they end up in the mirror universe in an episode, and this just popped into my head. They actually have whales, you know, cetacean an area, and one Jankum, the Tellarite engineer guy, he's like, there's evil whales in the mirror universe. There's actually evil whales. It's hilarious, but that's a good joke. I mean, that's good, and it fits. But I can't say enough good things about Star Trek Prodigy season one and season two. But season two especially, and you really do need to watch season one. Don't just watch season two, even though I am saying, you know, I do think season two is better. But I think that's partly because it's building on what was set up in season one. Is also, they've got that going for them too. It's kind of why early seasons of most shows, usually once you get 2-3 seasons in, that's where the shows really start to shine if it's a good show. Some shows start great out of the gate, but you do need to build something. Like, I've always maintained that the first season of the original Star Trek is by far the best Trek and the best season of that show. Season two is good too, and season three has got, you know, some of the, let's say, lesser liked episodes. But I mean, season one, I think that's the strength of the writers that they had for the first season of Trek, of original Star Trek. And just, you know, they had a lot of sci-fi people who really knew how to write a compelling story. I mean, it's all about the writing at the end of the day. If the story is good, if the writing is good, not to bring the Acolyte in all the time, you know, anymore, but that was the problem. I mean, it wasn't a strong story. And you had characters, to me, you had a lot of very unlikable characters in Acolyte. And again, it's about the story, it's about the plot, it's about the characters. And if those things are failing or not good, and again, it's subjective. These things are all subjective. I don't say that, you know, my opinion is any different or better than anybody else's, but I think there is some objective things you can look for in a good story that has a good beginning, middle, event, has a problem to solve, has things to overcome, that isn't just, I don't know, the only word that popped into my mind is fluff, that doesn't really mean anything. But yeah, Prodigy, fantastic. So I'm going to need to get a quick drink of tea. I may just pause this for like 3 seconds and not even put anything in between, but let me get a drink, and then I'm going to run down the episodes of Prodigy Season 2. All right, let's quickly run down the episodes and the names here. Into the Breach. I think I'm just going to run. I'll read the episode and titles, and then talk in general about, you know, some of the things about the season. I don't want to do a play by play of every episode. This was actually Into the Breach was a part one, part two episode for the first part of season two. And then Who Saves the Saviors is the next one. This is an ongoing topic in this season. Temporal Mechanics 101, because there's some time travel involved in this season. And next episode, Observer's Paradox. Let's see. Then number six, Imposter Syndrome. That was kind of a fun one. That's when they create holograms of themselves so they can kind of slip away, Dal and his group, and so they can take the Infinity, which is this ship that to go basically try to get the Protostar and Chakotay. That's kind of their thing. The Fast and the Curious, that's the next episode. Is There in Beauty No Truth? That's a little play on an episode from the original series, because there's one of the cool one of the cool things about this show. Is there's a Medusan who that race of beings was introduced in the third season of the original series. He's called Zero on this, but they have like a containment suit thing for him. The big thing in that episode of the original series was that the appearance, if a person saw a Medusan, it would drive them insane because of, you know, they apparently... you know, something about the way they look, just your mind can't comprehend exactly. So, but I like the fact that they brought a Medusan as a a character on Prodigy. And then there's another two-parter, The Devourer of All Things. And this is the one where we get Wesley back, or Wesley's there. And they run into these bad time beings that are called the Loom. It's really complicated. It again, this is not a kid show. You have to use your brain as much for this show as you do for any Star Trek, maybe even more sometimes. Then there's so it's 10 years. Okay, so the next two episodes, this is where we find Chakotay again. The last flight of the Protostar. He's been on this planet maroon for 10 years. 10 years by yourself. I just, can you imagine that? Can you imagine day after day, year after year, being totally alone? I don't know. I don't know, honestly, if my mind and, you know, I don't know if I could handle that. I think people need people. And I don't know. But Chakotay's, sorry, too much talking. I'm probably going to wrap this up pretty quick. A Tribble Called Quest. This was kind of fun. There was a planet overrun by genetically modified Tribbles. Another two-parter called Ascension. And then this is, you know, Zero runs into these beings. They create like sort of a body for him, but it's sort of breaking down. That's another little thing that's going on in this season. Episode 17, Brink. This is, you know, the Federation and the Valnikat are on the brink of war. excuse me. Touch of Grey. You know, we get a reunion. Well, no, sorry, not an episode. But anyway, that's involving Wesley. What did I say? Wesley. Sorry. And then Ouroboros is the last two episodes. The last two episodes are pretty spectacular, a lot happening. And yeah, and there's a nice little part where, you know, in the episodes where, or an episode where, what am I trying to say? Crusher, Dr. Crusher and Wesley get a little reunion. Yeah, it's, again, I don't want to play by play these, but it was, I love that we got Robert Beltran back as Chakotay. We have Wesley, you know, Will Wheaton here. I mean, you get to see these characters years after we saw them last, and they've changed. And I like the reactions when Janeway, Admiral Janeway and Chakotay finally reunite. I mean, there's a bond and a friendship. You know, I was at when I was at Comic-Con, we were able to see the there was a need more tea. Sorry, I'm just gonna take a drink. Hang on. All right, so voice is still not where it needs to be. So the there was a panel on the last day on Sunday of Comic-Con with Kate Mulgrew, Janeway. She was there, and there was, of course, there's always been this kind of thing and hint at, you know, are Chakotay and Janeway, are they an item? Are they going to get together or something? And, you know, Kate Mulgrew just kind of said, no, they're just, you know, good friends. And I think that's great. I like that some entertainment thing, you know, like TV shows or movies can show a man and a woman as being very close friends, but not necessarily romantically involved. I mean, I think that's only, I'm going to quote Spock, that's only logical. I mean, you can't, you know, guys know a lot of women, you know, except for certain politicians. Oh, did I slide that in here somehow? But you're not romantically involved with every woman you meet, you know what I mean? Or even one that you know for a long time. They can be very good, close friends, you know? And it's, I just admire and I like the fact that they don't kind of drop down to, now if it makes sense, you know, lots of television and lots of movies and lots of entertainment bring characters together, right? I mean, you know, they had Paris and B'Elanna on Voyager became a thing, which I thought was interesting just because they were kind of opposites a little bit, right? She's kind of this hot-headed Klingon. He's kind of this cool, you know, pilot guy, and it worked, I thought. And they didn't necessarily work in the same area. You know, it wouldn't be like, I mean, for one, Janeway was the captain, and to get together with her first officer is just kind of like, just seems wrong, right? But anyway, I like the fact that what I'm getting at is in Prodigy, when they reunite here after the you know, the main characters bring Chakotay back and Janeway, they kind of hug, and you can see that there's genuine, like, you know, they're very happy to see each other, and there's very, you know, it's affection, but it's not romance. And I don't know, maybe I'm just rambling a little bit, maybe, but, you know, still getting better here, by the way. But I don't know. I just admire that they do that, you know, that they can keep characters, you know, a man and a woman character on a show. And again, whatever, it's Star Trek, it's animated, it's not real and all, and what does it really matter? And it's like, well, but it does kind of. I think it's good to do that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not like every television show that if there's a man and a woman, they get together. I mean, it doesn't, you know. But the bond, that the fact that they're this close and not romantically involved, I think there's just sometimes an association that you can't be that close without being romantically involved. And I don't buy that at all, not for a second. I think people can be very close, whether it's two men, two women, a man and a woman, whatever it is, without necessarily being romantically involved. All right, that was way too much of a soapbox. I don't know why I went off on that, but I just like it. Let's just put it that way. So that's kind of my very crazy, chaotic, not very thorough at all thing about Prodigy. The best thing I can just say is this is good, solid Star Trek and good, solid storytelling, and it's just fun adventure. There's a lot of heart, like I said earlier, and everyone, I think if you're a Trek fan, and even if you're maybe even not much of a Trek fan, I think you'd enjoy this show if you like good storytelling and good characters to follow. So check it out. It's all on Netflix. Like I said, you can watch, I think both seasons are on there. I'm pretty positive they're both on there still. And maybe we'll get another season. I heard that somebody, they got donations enough to do another banner over Netflix headquarters out in California. You know, hey, bring on Prodigy Season 3. I forget what the banner exactly said, but they famously kind of did that when it got canceled and Netflix picked it up. I mean, Netflix has some big pockets. They can pay for some things. So let's hope for that. All right, we're almost at 50 minutes. I'm going to get out of here and get this edited and put up. I hope it's been enjoyable. Like I said earlier, I am feeling better, even though voice is can't handle sometimes talking for an hour, but I'm definitely better than I was a couple weeks ago. So maybe in a couple more weeks, if at this rate of improvement, I'm figuring in another few weeks, I should be 100% again. So everyone, take care of yourselves. Enjoy whatever, I don't know, if you like football, enjoy football if that's going on, if that's your thing. Here in Michigan in this time of year, we've got, you know, the cider mills are open. We're still fairly warm. Today is only about a upper 60, 70 degree day with a little bit of rain. Hey, also, my heart goes out to anybody impacted by that hurricane. Hopefully you're all safe. That's the most important thing. Anything can be repaired and fixed. Stuff can be taken care of, but people are the critical thing. So hopefully everyone's well, and just it'll pass. You know, we have extreme weather these days, and it's important to take it seriously and be careful. So yeah, that's about it. Hopefully I'll talk. Oh, I know I will. Talk to you guys all in a couple more weeks. Take care of yourselves, and live long and prosper. May the force be with you. All those good sayings in Star Trek, in sci-fi, not just Star Trek, Star Wars, Star Trek, and so on. Oh, I'm watching that Lego Star Wars thing that's on Disney. It's kind of cute. I've watched the first two. I think there's four of them. Rebuilding the Galaxy, I think it's called, something like that. But anyway, yeah. So it's about the only Star Wars we've got right now, right? Of anything new. So, all right, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
This has been a Rico Dosti podcast production.